blessing to be here already this morning. Greet each one in Christ's name, the one that we've been talking about, thinking about. I've been touched, I've been blessed in many ways, and I trust that we can continue to worship the Lord as we are together like this. A lot of our thoughts have been centered around Christ coming, rightfully so, this season, this Christmas season. We've been thinking a lot about Christ coming to earth as a baby. I'd like to continue thinking down that line. Tomorrow is Christmas Day, and I thought it would be fitting to think more specifically, continue to think specifically about that. I wasn't exactly sure what to use for a title for the message this morning. I'd like to talk about Christmas and what Christmas really, what it means. I would like for us to get a new picture in our minds, the real meaning of Christmas. For many years, for many generations, December 25th comes around on the calendar, and it's been a tradition, a holiday for a long time, for many years. I'm not exactly sure when it started to celebrate Christ's birth. Why December 25th? I don't have all the answers to that. Is that when Christ was born? There are various opinions on that. History does tell us a number of things. I'm not sure if the conclusion I came to is completely correct, but I came across this, that back in the Roman Empire, they had a celebration about this time of the year, around December 25. And this celebration was in honor of the god Saturn. This was the time of the year that marked the mid-winter solstice in the northern hemisphere. And so this was the time of the year that the days started to lengthen, and they celebrated the returning of the sun. As I understand it, the Christians were not happy with this carnal pagan festivity, this celebration. And so they decided that they would make their own festival, and they chose to celebrate Christ's birth. And so we look at December 25th on the calendar, and we have a holiday, a time to celebrate Jesus' birth. I don't believe that Jesus was actually born on Christmas Day. Again, there are various opinions about that. In some of my reading, I read that some believe it was in the spring, some believe it was in the fall. Well, that's not the point this morning, but we do take this time, and I think it's fitting, I think it's proper that we take this time of the year to think of Christ's birth. We all know that Christmas has become very, very commercialized. It's easy for any of us to almost forget the true meaning of Christmas, and so it's my desire this morning to in this holiday season, to really look at the true meaning of Christmas. And that's my desire for this message. I'd like to use the word Christmas as an acrostic this morning, and take each one of these letters and look at a number of things from this familiar story. We'll use the board for this. I don't feel like I have a lot new to bring. These are things that a lot of us have heard again and again. Luke 2, I'd like to turn to that here shortly. You can turn to that if you'd like. But Luke 2 is a familiar passage, and yet it is special to us. We thank God for this story, because Christmas is all about Jesus. That's really the focus of it. So, to begin with, we'll look at the letter C. Need to move down through these things, through these letters. For the letter C, I'd like to look at Christ is born. Christ is born. Turn with me, maybe you're there already, to Luke chapter 2. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but would like to pull out some things I noticed as I was reading this familiar passage again. One thing about Christ's birth is that it had been prophesied by many prophets years before, and you can find that various places in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 5, I have that verse jotted down here. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, "Behold, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." To me, there's just a lot of interesting things about all of this. Jesus' earthly parents, His earthly parents, thinking of Joseph and Mary, were from Nazareth. And the prophets had prophesied many years before that this Messiah would come from Bethlehem, or would come from the line of David. He was to be born in the city of Bethlehem. Is it just a coincidence that Caesar Augustus made a decree that all the world should be taxed? And that since Joseph was of the lineage of David, they traveled from the city of Nazareth, where they lived, to Bethlehem. Is that just a coincidence? Something that, just happened? Think about all the logistics that would have had to come together to make this fulfillment come true. And yet, that is the God that we serve. It was no problem for God to have Caesar make that decree. It was no problem for God to move Joseph and Mary to make that trip on that donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I know Scripture doesn't say that they took a donkey, but it was very likely that they did. But it was no problem for God to do that, to move Joseph and Mary to make that trip. And baby Jesus was born there in the stable. Again, that is the great God that we serve. Sometimes we struggle with getting the logistics together in our day because, we're human. But with God, it is no problem. The Old Testament prophets had prophesied that the Messiah would be of David's royal line. And through Joseph, that was fulfilled. As we look at Luke 2, the thing that impresses me here is, or impressed me anew as I read this, was Jesus' lowly birth. His lowly birth. You know, as they traveled to Bethlehem, they traveled there. We don't know how long it took, but there was not a lot of, they didn't travel like we do today. It was lowly. And they got there, and the places were full. There was no room. There were many other people traveling as well. Scripture tells us that there was no room in the inn. And so maybe the innkeeper, I don't know how all this happened, but maybe he came out and said, I'm sorry, but the inn is full. But, you know, I have this stable back here. I have this stable. You're welcome to use that if you would like. I thought about that some and looked kind of back at different writings, finding out a little bit more about this stable. And I don't know exactly how it was, but as we think of a stable, I often thought of a nice barn out there behind the inn somewhere where they kept the horses and the donkeys, the people that were traveling. It's where they were kept, but I found in my studying that this probably was not the case, that it was this nice barn out there. Many times a stable back then, many times a stable was actually carved out of a rock, big rock there on the hillside. And many times the stable was carved out of that rock. And as I picture that, I guess I get a very different picture of this stable. If it was a cave, the possibilities are there that it could have been, it may have been a damp, musty, dirty cave. Quite an unlikely place for Christ's birth. But that is where Jesus was born. So it was a very lowly birth. It says in verse 7 here in chapter 2, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." The word swaddling here means that she took pieces of cloth and wrapped him up. And that was a tradition. It was a way they did with their infants. And then it says, "And laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Christ was born. He was the Son of God. And yet he came in this lowly, earthly way. Okay, moving on to our second letter of H. And for this one I have heaven comes down to earth. All right, heaven comes down to earth. Turn with me back now to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused," we talked a little bit about this word in Sunday school, about what that meant. This word espoused is similar to our word engagement. Had a little bit of a different thought to it, but it's very similar to that of our engagement. They were engaged to get married. "Espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, try to put yourselves, husbands and wives here this morning, try to put yourselves in Mary and Joseph's shoes as this was unfolding, as this was taking place. This was a young couple that was engaged to get married, and suddenly they realized that Mary was to bring forth a Christ child. So there were many questions in their mind, and rightfully so. There were so many unexplained things. Yes, Mary was an ordinary young woman. She was not married. She was not sinless. She was just like you and I. She was not perfect. She was engaged to a young man by the name of Joseph. And they were looking forward. Sure, they were looking forward to getting married. Why did God choose this way for his son to enter into the world? You know, I can't explain all of that. I can't explain why God chose this way. I believe that God could have chosen another way, could have chosen other ways to bring the Christ child into the world. But he chose to use Mary and Joseph. So put yourself in their shoes. Imagine the stress that this probably created, or possibly could have created, in their relationship with each other. Suddenly, here was Mary. She was with child, and this was looked down upon to be in that way before you were married. It says that Joseph thought of putting her away. He was very self-conscious about this. Possibly he was embarrassed. But we have the angel coming to him. The angel came to him, and I believe through that Joseph and Mary came to a sense of God's blessing and peace. How many of us, as a young married couple, as Joseph and Mary went up to Bethlehem, how many of us would have survived that test? How many of us would have still been together as a couple? Think about that. Well, God chose to bring heaven to earth through Mary. Galatians chapter 4. You can turn with me there if you'd like. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, Jesus, made of a woman, speaking of Mary, made under the law. Mary was a Jew, to redeem them that were under the law, speaking of the Jews and Gentiles, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You almost have to read that verse a couple of times to really get the impact of it. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Praise God this morning for that gift that he gave to us. That was God's method for bringing Christ into this world. We can't explain it, but we accept it by faith, and we thank God for this gift. Okay, moving on to the letter R, and here we'll be touching on some things that Joey touched on this morning. I simply have responses of those who heard the good news. Responses of those who heard the good news. I would like to think of a few of the responses of those who heard the good news. And again, we'll touch on some of these ones that were already mentioned this morning. But first of all, the shepherds. It says in Luke chapter 2, let's turn back to Luke again. I was just blessed by some of these responses, and through that kind of had to wonder what my response would have been if I would have been there. But first of all, the shepherds. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 9, that the shepherds were sore afraid. You know, as those heavenly messengers came and proclaimed the birth of Jesus, they were fearful and rightfully so. I picture the shepherds out there on the hill, peaceful setting. They were there under the stars. It was a peaceful, quiet night. And suddenly this loud proclamation and a bright light, this light shone about them. And it says they were sore afraid. That was their first response. But I believe after they got over the initial shock, we see that what their next response was, and it simply says, they made haste to go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass. And sure enough, they came to the stable and they found the baby lying in a manger. It was just as they were told that it would be. Well, I was impressed again as we see the response of the shepherds as they. Then they were there, and they left the stable and went back to the hillside, the sheep, wherever they had been. It says in Luke here 2, verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I get the picture that as they were going, they told everyone that they met, hey, this is what happened. This is what took place to us out there on the hillside, and we went and found it, just as it was told to us. I can just kind of sense that they were excited, they were joyful, and they were just proclaiming this as they were going forth. I don't know how all that was, but that's what I can picture. It says that they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know, they didn't have the modern means of communication, like sending it all over with our smartphones and all of that, but they told those that they met, and it became public news very quickly. They were excited about his birth, and they wanted to tell other people. That was their response. With hearts of gratitude, they returned to their flocks. They brought glory and praise to God. Well, what about you and I this morning? As we think of that, as we again are here in this season, as we think about that taking place, as we think of Christ's birth, that should be our response. It should bring glory and praise to Jesus Christ. We should be excited about it. Are we telling other people about this in an excited way that they can tell that we are joyful and it means something to us? Bring glory and praise to God. The wise men, another group of people that had a response, they also, they had a response. Somehow the wise men, I'm not sure how they found out about it, but somehow the wise men found out about Christ's birth. Maybe it was through the prophecies of the prophets, but here they observed an unusual star in the east, and the sky seemed to tell them that Christ was born. We have that back in Matthew chapter 2. We're kind of going back and forth here between Matthew and Luke. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now again, I'm not sure how they found out about this prophecy. Maybe they read it in the law and they knew that Jesus was to be born. But they saw this star in the east and they pursued it. They went to Jerusalem. We know the story, how they came to Herod and they wanted to know about this king of the Jews that was to be born. And it didn't seem like King Herod knew anything about it. And he started asking. He inquired. It says in verses 4 and 5, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets." And so Herod thought about this. And so Herod said, "Okay, wise men, go down there and find this king of the Jews. And when you find him, come and tell me so that I can come worship him too." Of course, we know what Herod's real motives were. Herod did not want to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill this young king of the Jews, anyone that would rise up to challenge his position, he wanted to do away with. And so these wise men left Jerusalem and headed down to Bethlehem. And I was impressed how it says here in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It seems to me that initially they had seen the star in the sky, and they realized that it was a message that Jesus, that this Christ child was born. The way I would understand this is that the star did not lead them the whole way. They saw the star for a while, and then they just went to Jerusalem because they figured that, well, that is where the king of the Jews would be born. It would be my understanding then that as they left Herod, the star reappeared, and it says they rejoiced with exceeding joy, and the star led them to the place where Jesus was born, right there at Bethlehem. Well, let's remember that here now that Jesus was no longer an infant. Jesus was probably between 1 and 2 years old when the wise men came, because we know that Herod had made the decree that all the boys 2 years old and younger should be killed. Well, the wise men came. They came and they worshiped Jesus. Verse 11 says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." I'm not sure why the wise men chose these three gifts. I didn't really take the time to look into that. But they came and found Jesus, and they worshipped him. Another response that I want to look at is from the man Simeon. This we find, again, back in Luke chapter 2. An old man that lived in the temple, Luke chapter 2, begin reading in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And to Joseph and his mother, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon was so blessed that this fulfillment had come to pass. This Christ child was born. You can tell that it was a joyful time for him. We also have Anna, a prophetess in Jerusalem. She was of great age. I believe she was over 100 years old. It says that she made prayers day and night. We have this in verses 36 through 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here was another person that rejoiced in seeing this fulfillment come to pass. She then went and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I believe these older folks, Simeon and Anna, were people that had long waited to see the Messiah coming. They had waited a long time. And then when they had seen this prophecy fulfilled, it blessed their hearts and they told it to others. Well, we need to move on. Next letter we have is the letter I. Now, you may question my spelling there, but in Scripture, you'll find Emmanuel written beginning with an I or an E. It's both ways. I found in the Old Testament, a lot of the times it was with an I, and in the New Testament, it's E. So I took the liberty to use the letter I this morning. Emmanuel, interpreted God with us. Matthew chapter 1. Again, verse 23, which we read already, says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The prophet Isaiah made a similar prophecy. The words are almost identical. Here in Isaiah, it is spelled with an I. Isaiah 7:14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so what is significant about the word Emmanuel, God with us? As we think about the birth of Jesus, we think of the incarnation of Jesus, how he was God and yet he was man. The incarnation of Jesus Christ to me is, well, it's still a marvel today. We have a hard time understanding it. We have a hard time understanding how that can really be, that Jesus can be God and man at the same time. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came in the flesh, as a baby, as a man, so that even though he is God, he understands man's needs and weaknesses. And I think we should praise God this morning for this Emmanuel, God with us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And for lack of time, we won't turn to all these. I have most of these written down. Hebrews 4, verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Isn't that wonderful? God understands us. He understands our weaknesses and our shortcomings. This morning we have God with us, living in us through the Holy Spirit. Right? The next letter we have is S. Savior of the world. Different passages talk about Jesus coming to be our Savior. Again in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What do you think of when you think of a Savior? A Savior, a person that saves, a person that rescues or delivers. The thought is usually that of imminent danger, even death. We have probably all heard and read of heroic stories of, you know, accidents and fires or natural disasters when there were victims who were in danger of death, and there was a Savior that came. There was that individual that came along to the scene of the accident, and he jumped out of his car and he went and pulled that person from the burning car. He was a Savior because there was imminent danger. Death was near. Well, Jesus is our Savior. You and I were a person trapped in sin. We were about to die. We were in danger of death. Jesus Christ came to be our Savior, our Deliverer, one that pulls us from the wreckage of sin. And so as Jesus came as a baby, it was the beginning process that God's plan would be fulfilled, that as he grew to be a man, he would die. He would give his life on Calvary so that we can have eternal life. It was a part of the plan that God had put together, the salvation of mankind. Jesus said in Isaiah 43, verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There is no other Savior. Jesus Christ came to be our Savior. He is the Savior of every man and woman in the world. The next letter we have is the letter T. Truth and grace. That was sent our way. Truth and grace that was sent our way. I read one verse out of John chapter 1. You can turn with me there. I'd like to read a few more verses. John chapter 1. Read verse 14 where it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's continue reading there. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Beautiful verses. No man has ever seen God, but Jesus Christ has come to represent God. He is the way that we can know God. Verse 17, "Grace and truth came through Jesus." We talk about the Old Testament being a dispensation of the law. They lived under the law. The New Testament is a dispensation of grace, and Jesus Christ ushered that dispensation in so that we do not have to live under the law but under grace. Jesus came to bring grace and truth. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Truth and grace that was sent our way. The letter M, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't want to idolize Mary this morning, but I believe there are some things that we can learn as we look at her life. When the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus, what was her response? What all went through her mind? I don't know what all went through her mind, but her response finally was, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary had a servant's heart. Yes, I'm sure she had questions. I'm sure there were a lot of questions there. She didn't understand how all this would work out. And why did God choose her? The angel said, "Mary, you are highly favored of God." And as the story unfolds, we repeatedly have this statement made about Mary, that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I believe Mary was like many mothers here this morning, that you have a keen interest in your child, your observation. You observe that child. You love your love for that child. You know that child better than anybody else knows that child. I believe that is how it was with Mary. She knew Jesus, and she knew him very well. I do believe she was human. I'm quite certain she had her struggles. But we see a godly woman who surrendered her life and her son's life to the will of the Heavenly Father. It's interesting as you read Christ as he grew to be a man. And then as he was hanging there on the cross, it says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. She was present. And as Jesus was there hanging on the cross, as he was about to die, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." He said this to Mary. And then to the disciple, he said, "Behold thy mother." I take from that there was a real close connection between Jesus and his mother. And I'm blessed by that. For the letter A, accept Jesus today. As this Christmas season, again, this time of Christmas season, as we think about Christ coming into the world, what does Christmas really mean to me? What does it mean to you? I have a several things written down that I'd like for us to remember. Let's remember that Christmas is always about God's great love for you and me, Jesus' willingness to come in such a lowly way. Number two, remember that there will be a response from those who hear the news about Christ's birth. We looked at some of those responses, and there will always be a response as we hear the good news of Jesus' birth. The shepherds, they came and worshipped. The wise men came and worshipped. Simeon and Anna rejoiced in the fulfillment of God's word as they saw that. And then you have people like Herod, who had that hatred in his heart. He wanted to do away with Jesus. There will always be a response from those who hear the good news. Some will accept. Some will accept Jesus, and some will not. Number three, when Jesus was born, there was no room in the inn. The no vacancy sign was hanging on the door. The inn was full, and so they found themselves in the stable. I was told, just recently, I was told about a church sign that says this: "Are you one of the in group? Are you one of the stable few?" I like that. Are you one of the in group, or are you one of the stable few? Are you one of the many in the in group, or are you one of those that are worshiping Jesus? I trust that we are in the stable this morning, and we are worshiping Jesus, that we have accepted Jesus. Always remember, number four, always remember that baby Jesus grew to be a man. He suffered and died to be our Lord and Savior. That is why he came. We talked about that. Many people like to celebrate Jesus at Christmas time. Many people are okay with Jesus in the manger, but when it comes to Jesus being their Lord, their Savior, they hesitate. Well, Jesus Christ wants us to accept him as Lord and Savior. The inn was full, but I trust that our hearts are inviting Jesus to come in and fill our life and give him every room in our heart and in our life. For the last letter, the letter S. Someday Jesus will return. Someday Jesus will return. We rejoice that Jesus did not remain an infant. He not only filled the plan of salvation, but it says that he ascended up to heaven and he is now at the right hand of the Father. And we believe that he is there today, interceding on my behalf. He's interceding on your behalf. The angel's words to the disciples as they gazed there up into heaven as Jesus ascended, went through the clouds. Their words were, "So shall he come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." This morning I trust that each one of us are anticipating meeting our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, our Emmanuel, our Prince of Peace, and the list could go on and on. Someday he will return. We know that. He will return, not as a baby, but King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's kneel for prayer.